90 million developers, the world's most exciting startups, and 90% of Fortune 100 companies built, scale, and ship secure software on GitHub. Find a plan that works for you at github.com. Let's build from here.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, November 17th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. When Moscow invaded Ukraine, it spurred an exodus of highly skilled workers from Russia, including those in the tech sector. Now, there's been a second wave of departures following the Kremlin's September military mobilization. So, who are the workers that are leaving Russia now? What does it mean for the country's startups and tech firms? And what might this kind of brain drain mean for the country long term? On today's show, our reporter Yulia Chernova joins us to discuss. That's after these headlines. Elon Musk says he expects to name someone else to run Twitter, and that he'll scale back how much time he spends at the company over time. Musk made the comments in a Delaware court on Wednesday while testifying in a trial over his pay package at Tesla. A Tesla shareholder is asking the court to rescind Musk's pay package, which was approved by the EV maker's board in 2018, saying he had too much influence over how it was set up. Our tech reporter Megan Bobrowski has been following the case.
He basically testified that he did not dictate the terms of his pay plan and that instead he was focused on running the business. He said, quote, "I was entirely focused on the execution of the company." Several board members have testified so far, and the trial will run through Friday.
Three executives from Meta's operation in India have left the company in recent weeks. Meta's head in India, the head of Meta's WhatsApp service there, and Meta's India public policy director have all resigned. The company said the departures were unrelated to its recently announced layoffs, but they come as the social media giant undergoes its first broad global restructuring. India is Meta's biggest market by users, and the company has invested billions of dollars in the country. But it's facing some new challenges there, including government regulations and criticism by human rights groups over hate speech on its platforms. The CEO of Binance, the world's largest crypto exchange, said this week he would create an industry recovery fund. He also pledged to make investors' crypto holdings more transparent on his platform and push others to do the same. It comes as the crypto sector continues to reel following the collapse of FTX. Our reporter Patricia Kausman says Binance's CEO believes those in the digital currency universe have turned their hopes to his company.
Whatever happens to Binance will dictate the fate of the entire industry and actually define whether crypto is going to go mainstream or if it's kind of go backwards in a way or continue to be sort of a very restricted market for fewer people.
Binance has been the target of critics who say it's done little to promote transparency, including operating without an official headquarters and without registration in many countries. Under pressure from regulators, it started to set up offices and get licenses. A Binance spokesman declined to comment. And the third time turned out to be the charm.
And liftoff of Artemis 1. We rise together, back to the moon and beyond.
As the announcer there said, NASA's Artemis 1 moon rocket blasted off from Cape Canaveral in the early hours of Wednesday morning, following two previous failed attempts. The uncrewed mission is the first step in the space agency's efforts to return humans to the lunar surface by 2025. The agency has said that'll include putting the first woman and the first person of color on the moon. Artemis 1 is testing out the most powerful rocket NASA has ever developed, and the Orion spacecraft, which will eventually carry astronauts. Officials have said one of the most critical moments of the current mission will come when Orion's crew module re-enters Earth's atmosphere next month, testing its heat shield with temperatures of nearly 5,000 degrees. All right, coming up, Russia's tech industry was once its fastest growing. Now tech workers are leaving in droves. How is the brain drain affecting Russia's economy? We'll discuss after the break.
90 million developers, the world's most exciting startups, and 90% of Fortune 100 companies build, scale, and ship secure software on GitHub. With automated workflows, out-of-the-box CI/CD, built-in AI, supercharged collaboration tools, and embedded security throughout the developer workflow, GitHub is the best modern software development platform in the world. It lets teams focus on what really matters, making their vision a reality. It's a place for anyone, from anywhere, to build anything. Find a plan that works for you at github.com. Let's build from here.
In September, Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered a mass mobilization of men to support the country's war in Ukraine. That order spurred many men of fighting age, including from its tech sector, to leave the country. It's actually the second recent exodus of tech workers from Russia. A lot of them left last winter when the invasion was announced. But this is believed to be a far bigger wave of departures, as those who couldn't leave last time now look for an exit. So what does this mean for Russia's struggling economy? And what happens next for these highly skilled workers? Joining us to discuss all of this is our reporter, Yulia Chernova. Hi, Yulia. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Yulia, some estimates show as many as a million people left Russia this spring. That includes software developers and other tech workers that can do their jobs remotely. So where are they going?
The biggest beneficiary is probably Georgia. And then other countries that offer an easier transition, whether they have a visa-free entry or an easy way of obtaining a visa. So Kazakhstan is a big beneficiary. Then you have in Europe, Serbia is another destination that's pretty large. There's interesting research by a professor at the Vienna University of Economics and Business who looked at GitHub accounts of Russian developers. GitHub is a software platform where developers collaborate. And he geolocated the accounts of Russian developers to see whether they are listing a new location for themselves. So what he found was that as of November 8th, about 13% of Russian developers now list a different country than they did at the start of this year. And another 13% just obscured their location. And he estimates that about 20% of Russian developers have left the country this year. And the biggest destination, according to his research, is Georgia.
And how easy is it for these tech workers to find a new job, or are they keeping the positions that they had when they were still in Russia?
A lot of them actually are keeping their jobs. Some of the Russian companies did adjust their own policies to allow their workers to continue remotely. At the same time, a lot of the people I spoke with are trying to find other jobs, and it's not that easy to get paid abroad. You know, they're getting paid in rubles in Russia, and transferring that money out isn't simple, especially with all kinds of sanctions and problems with the monetary transactions cross-border right now with Russia. And in general, there's a lot of uncertainty in the Russian economy. There are reasons not to be tied closely to these Russian companies. So these workers are looking as best they can.
What does that mean for the, you know, startups or Russian tech companies that have hired these workers? You know, how easy is it for the companies to survive once their employees are leaving the country?
There was a big dislocation and panic and pause in just work itself by many tech teams in Russia right around the time when mobilization was announced. Some say that by now things have settled down and people are adjusting. And having workers abroad is somewhat manageable for these companies, but it also depends on what kind of work and what kind of projects they are performing. If they're working for the government, let's say, it's harder to justify having data transferred across borders, let's say.
Are any of these companies having to consider shutting down or moving their operations entirely out of Russia?
Yes, we certainly saw a lot of companies move their own operations abroad. I spoke with one company, for example, InDrive. It's a ride-sharing startup that was founded in Siberia, in Russia. Currently, it's based in Silicon Valley. It's backed by American investors, and most of their workers were based in Russia. They had more than 1,000 at the beginning of this year. And they are relocating everybody out of the country. This company in particular has a lot of people moving to Kazakhstan and Cyprus. Whoever is not leaving, the CEO said, will be laid off.
Can you give us a sense of how important the tech sector is to Russia's economy? And I guess how that has changed since the start of the war and since this new exodus of tech workers?
The tech sector is certainly important for the Russian economy. It's estimated between 3% and 6% of the country's GDP. It was one of the faster growing sectors of the economy. And it was also a sector that helped the economy diversify. The Russian economy is very much dependent on oil and gas revenue. And the tech sector was also important in supplying a lot of well-paid jobs. So certainly their departure from the country is a hit to the consumer market. And in general, it's also a tax hit. The income taxes that these folks were paying to the treasury are likely not going to be paid in Russia. And also tech is important to the government. It supports other sectors and the development of other sectors. And it's also important just for the defense industry, for cybersecurity.
So then what does this kind of brain drain mean long term for Russia and its ambitions within tech?
You have hundreds of thousands of smart, educated, motivated, well-off people leaving the country. It's a loss for Russia and a gain for wherever they end up. At the same time, it's not to say that everything stopped and all the tech companies closed in Russia. There is still growth there, and some companies are doing okay, and some of these companies are doing even better than they thought they would be back in the spring. So it remains to be seen what happens. But the general uncertainty is a big problem for the tech sector because founders are scared to invest further.
All right, that's our reporter, Yulia Chernova. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I'm Paul Gigot, and you can join me, Kim Strassel, Kyle Peterson, and our colleagues on the Potomac Watch podcast each Monday through Friday. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app.